Hi, today is January 29th, 2017. This is Midview Podcast number 192. I'm Todd Ogasawart, my good friend John Westfall. And John wants me to say that I'm here until we lose power, because we're having a very windy day here. And when we have windy days, I mean, in and around Honolulu, power is iffy. So we'll see.
And I have no power issues.
Yes, because you live in a first world nation.
Yes, I live in rural Mississippi. But one could say I'm all powerful.
That's right.
I have no problem with power where I'm at.
Right. I have lost, and I was mentioning to you, John, before we started the recording, I actually lost power twice last week. Once on Saturday, I think I was down for about 3 hours, and Monday morning, just before work, we were down a couple hours, according to my blinking clocks.
And I would just like to point out for our listeners who are kind of getting fatigued by all of the things going around Facebook and social media and all the world events and U.S. events and all those things, that our podcast remains, as always, apolitical. So this is our basic push for you to evangelize about our podcast to all of your friends who are also experiencing political fatigue and say, hey, these two guys, they don't talk anything about politics. They don't even know who the president of the United States is right now.
They live in a bubble.
Yeah, I thought we had, you know, just
Prime Minister.
We were pulled by a bunch of giant spiders or
That's
something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are clueless. And so this is our annual push to increase our listenership.
That's right.
So, you know, go forth, evangelize, and help us out.
Right. We're not a stress-free podcast because we do have rants.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't rant about politics.
No, because the rants that we rant about, because you and I both have some ability to contribute to the field of technology, we can actually do something about them.
Yeah.
Politics,
nothing.
I think, even if I had ties into them, I don't know how would you ever go about fixing them. So
right. Even if I understood and knew what it was, I would not. But anyway, so something we have been ranting about for years now.
I know. It's like we had an
effect. How's that for a segue? We're like pros.
This is a product that I had a death watch on that I had actively stopped using, or at least stopped promoting, and now I'm back using it for now.
Yeah. And we are called, of course, speaking of Google Voice, which after 400 years or something has gotten an update. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how shocked you were, John, because I thought they were going to announce they're going to kill it soon.
I was totally shocked. And in retrospect, hindsight's 20/20. When Hangouts didn't take off as well as Google had hoped, we should have probably we did see something weird when Allo came out, and, you know, all of a sudden it was, oh, Hangouts, don't you care about Hangouts anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Google has seemed to transition Hangouts to a different sort of use scenario, and that means Google Voice didn't get folded into Hangouts the way that it seemed like that was once going to happen for sure. So, yeah, we have a new UI, which Todd has, but I don't have, and new mobile apps, which I have, and I don't know if Todd has.
Yep, I have those.
So pretty awesome.
Right. Well, kind of. So let me say what I have. I have the web UI updated. I'm looking in right now, and I'm on a Mac, by the way, so it doesn't really care that I'm on Safari and not using Chrome. And it looks kind of like Google Mail, or Gmail, I should say, if you really got to know. It's got a lot of white space. It shows you the list of messages with number of unread, so to speak. It's got calls menu going down the left side, voicemail. All of my voicemail are spam, by the way. I don't have any actual real people calling me, which is kind of interesting. And then there's a more button that pops out a side view with, you know, how much credit you have. I'm not really sure that's for anymore, and that sort of stuff. So, you know, there you go. That's what we got. It looks nice-ish.
Yeah, I just checked. Mine is updated now, so that's cool. I'm seeing what you just described. Nothing. It just looks modern, but I'm still not seeing support for MMS messages. That was something that was advertised for. That might be just new messages that are MMS will be supported.
Right. Oh, yeah, I should go back and look. Because I know, you know, like my daughter sent me stuff through MMS by accident. And, you know, you can read it in Gmail, so it wasn't, like, totally useless.
Yeah, you just have to go dig it out.
Right. And also group MMS, I think.
So
that would have been useful.
I'm looking at a thread from around Christmas time when a friend sent me something, and it's not in that thread. So This is apparently just for new MMS messages.
Yeah. I wanted to mention when I said sort of, the reason I say sort of is because, A, I have the new app for iOS on my iPhone and iPad. That's fine. But, alas, I don't have it for my Android phone, which is my main voice phone. Because if you are using Google Fi, you cannot use Google Voice on that phone. And by that I mean, you cannot even install the app. It will say, no, you cannot install the app on this phone because you're on Google Fi.
It will get upset with you.
And if you open up Chrome, the default Chrome browser, it comes with Android, and you type in voice.google.com, it will say, no, you're on Google Fi, you can't do this. So what you got to do is you got to open up a third-party browser that doesn't have that restriction. Like, I think AdBlock browser, one of those kind of things. And you can open up voice.google.com, and that's the only way to check Google Voice. I mean, you still get it forwarded to Gmail, so that still works. But I miss Google Voice on my Android phone. It was really handy. That's one of the reasons I had it.
And I'm looking at my current options in Google Voice in the new UI, and there are no new options or anything kind of cool and unique. It is just a UI layout difference. Mm-hmm. But it at least matches the same UI as other Google properties.
Right. So. And if one of the languages you speak is Spanish, one of the new features is it'll transcribe to Spanish now, or transcribe Spanish voicemail now. So that's kind of neat.
Very nice. Yeah. I'm very happy that this has happened, although I do confess that I wish, that there were a little bit more TLC given to Google Voice. But that could be coming. They did something kind of about they're going to turn their attention back to Google Voice.
So. Well, it gives me hope they're not going to kill it.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you would do a giant UI refresh and then kill it, although it wouldn't be the first time we've seen it. So,
So you're right. It is a sign of hope. What is that? Star Trek Episode 4? New Hope? But at any rate.
Mm-hmm.
Not Star Trek, sorry. Star Wars. I know people are, our fives of listeners are like, what, you idiot? You don't know the difference between Trek and
all
Wars.
The ones that we just gained because of being apolitical, you just... in
yeah,
one
I know. By mixing up Trek and Wars, oh well.
We try.
But in any case, it's like you said, it's really good to see the update on the web and the various apps. And I just wish I could use it with Google Fi. And for those wondering how I got around it, I had to create a second account. I had to apply for Google Fi a second time. This was in 2015. And I had to wait 4 months to get my Google Fi invitation after I had to create my second account when I determined I would be unable to transport my Google Fi account in any shape or form. It would just destroy it. It literally would destroy all the history, all ability to access it if I had switched my main Gmail account. So that was lots of fun. Thanks, Google.
Google says, no problem. So I'm looking at it, a very interesting, this is not in our show notes, but this is a cautionary tale I can give.
Okay.
I installed the Google Apps, or the Google Photos Uploader on one of my computers the other day.
Okay.
Purely because I started using the camera function on it. It's on a Surface tablet, and I wanted the camera, and I wanted that backed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't uncheck a few key boxes.
Okay.
And I had a lot of files on that computer, video files for classes I teach, mm-hmm. and a few other things. And now all those video files, plus what looks to be a number of internet cache files or random things I'm not sure I ever actually downloaded. They are all now in my Google Photos under December 2016. So I basically have, yeah, these really do look like internet cache files. So now I have a ton of new uploaded photos, which of course doesn't make much difference because, I know what this is. This is all the pictures from my Evernote backup that was on my desktop. Well, that is creepy. Okay, so word of caution, and I don't think there's any way to tell Google like do mass delete. So
yeah, I've never had to do that, yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I can now tell you that my December 2016 archives are effectively trashed. It's all good up until about, let's see, where does it start? It starts right around December, December 12th or so, and then just it's gone from there. So, interesting. Well, word to the wise.
On a brighter note of Google Photos, which I have to say is one of my favorite Google services, Google, please don't kill it, is...
despite this, it's my favorite as well.
Almost everybody knows that you can search almost anything, right? You can say red sky. If you've associated photos of a person with that person's name, you can search by name. You can search by object names like dog or cat or building or mountains or whatever, right? But here's what I didn't know. You can use Boolean. Well, maybe it's not Boolean. You can have multiple object search. So you can, I guess it's just kind of form of Boolean. You can use an implied and. So you can type in three names, and it will try to find photos it will try to find photos with those three people in it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you can name more than one object, and it will try to find it. And you can type things, and I guess I should have always known that, because you can type red, and it'll search for all your photos that have red in it. You can also type red skies, which is really two objects. It's the color red and the word skies, and it will try to find skies that are red. So I guess I should have always known that, but it didn't occur to me you could search for multiple people. The difference is that with people, you have to associate names with the people manually. That's something you have to assign. It isn't quite at the NSA point where it knows who the people are automatically in your photos. as far as I know, anyway.
Well, yeah, as far as you know. That's in the next upgrade. It right. Taps into that database and it
taps into the NSA
all of a
database.
Sudden you will be able, yeah, you'll be able to look up your friends by name, by birth date,
yeah.
By number of phone calls they made last mm-hmm. month. Mm-hmm. You know, just all of that.
Maybe you can do a graph of who they called and who the other people. You know, like a social graph. It'd be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, sounds I think looking. That'll happen later when the NSA is outsources their database to Google. But in any case.
That was our little, really our sidetrack from Google to Google.
Yeah, yeah. And on a completely different note, Fitbit, one of my other favorite products. I've been using a Fitbit step counter since 2010, I think. So it's coming up in 7 years this spring, I think. And I've gone on my third one. Not that I've lost them. I've just upgraded. I went from the Fitbit to the Fitbit Ultra to the Fitbit One, which is what I'm using now. And I noticed something odd. I don't know if I've noticed this before or if it's unique to the Fitbit One, but whenever we have a, for lack of a better term, I'll call it a barometric event, basically when it's really windy, we have other kinds of odd weather here, my Fitbit floor climb count, boy, it's hard to say, floor climb count goes really out of whack. So I've been home all day today, and I'm looking down at my Fitbit app now, and we have a two-story home with the stairs, but I don't think I went up and down it 34 times today. At least I don't remember doing it 34 times. I probably
well, Todd, tired. That's the first sign that you might have some senility coming in.
Yeah, no, I was just in thinking, and you were going to say
you
that.
You don't remember the 34 times you went up and down the stairs. So you might want to be concerned about that.
I might be sleep climbing.
Yeah. While you were talking about your interesting issue, I realized that, thankfully, going back to my Google destruction, all of these things were uploaded on the same day, because, of course, they were all files that had the same there was no creation metadata on them.
Okay.
So I was just able to select – oh, this is great. I have 2,708 items that are junk items. But I've hit the delete limit. I can't delete them all at once because 1,500 items is the most that can be deleted at any one time.
That's actually kind of smart, I think.
Yeah.
Doesn't
so,
want you to mass delete all your photos by accident.
Those of you, yeah, because I'm really going to enjoy unselecting most of these. yeah, that is. So now we know that you can easily somewhat clean up a whole day if the whole day has been screwed up. But you're going to be clicking if you've got a ton of things. Of course, I would also not recommend having your entire Evernote library accidentally be uploaded, because apparently I've clipped a lot of pictures in my time.
That's interesting. You know, I spent, when was Google Photos? Last summer? 2 summers ago? Whenever it was announced, I spent a good part of a month, I think, uploading all of my photos. And videos and video clips, which at the time was about 80,000 some odd files, and I
literally you have seen things.
I don't recall it grabbing my Evernote images. I wonder what the difference is between.
Well, you probably didn't have it didn't have your entire Evernote on your desktop. I had made a backup to HTML of my entire Evernote weeks earlier and just threw it on my desktop, as many Windows do. And, yeah. So that moral of the story, don't just leave things sitting around on your desktop.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we you know, John, I searched around in the various news sources that we look around, and aside from that Google Voice story, I didn't see anything that interested me last week.
Everything I saw when I did my homework for this podcast, because, well, it doesn't seem like it. Todd and I actually do prepare things.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff about privacy and technology, and it just seems to be like it's somewhat streaming over from that political realm that we try not to talk about.
We're
so that seems to be dominating much of the sources that I usually consider, so much so that I didn't see anything that interesting either.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I was going to say the only thing that I almost mentioned was that I saw an announcement of some sort. I didn't even know it was an announcement. Maybe speculation that going forward, all new Google Chromebooks would be compatible with the Android App Store. And the reason why I didn't put that in there, even though I've been speaking endlessly about that, is they announced this like last summer. I've been waiting for it since August or July or something. And it's like, I was fully expecting it in October. Why I expected it in October, I have no idea. Oh, I know. Because I expected it to come out, to be announced the same time as when Android Nougat became available in production. But that didn't happen. So here we are, you know, nearly the end of January. And Google finally gets around saying, you know, I don't know. I guess hardware manufacturers are slow with this stuff, but come on.
That's Todd's very forceful, come on. That's, you know, get it together.
Yeah.
So my thoughts really turn to inward and wondering what I personally have found interesting. That's what I do when I can't find much news.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it used to be that every week or so I'd have an interesting app. In fact, we did app picks for a while.
Yeah, we did.
And lately it just seems like that has slowed to a crawl. And so I opened up my phone. I started looking around, thinking about what am I using these days? What do I find interesting? And I realized that that's kind of stagnated. And I looked at the top grossing and top downloaded items on iOS. Mm-hmm. And for the top downloads, you've got some kind of old standards like Snapchat and Instagram and YouTube and Facebook Messenger. And then games, you know, Minecraft has been the top paid app on the iOS App Store for a while now. The top grossing app is another game. I think it's Clash of Titan Clans or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, there's no killer apps anymore. There's nothing that kind of grabs the imagination other than every so often a game because of its premise or something like, you know, like Flappy Bird or something like that comes out and people go, oh, this is worthy to talk about. And it made me just wonder if the mobile space is stagnating, not in technology. You know, every year the technology does get a little better, a little faster, a little cheaper, et cetera, et cetera. But really in terms of functionality, it's kind of, I think, a scarier stagnation. Now, the caveat I have here is if I was a tinkerer or a hacker or a tweaker or a niche user, like, you know, a 3D printer enthusiast or someone who really likes to roll their own using Raspberry Pis and things like that, then yeah, I could find new and cool killer things to set up. But for an average user that doesn't have a lot of time, doesn't have a lot of enthusiast hobbies for computers, it seems like we have email, we have social media, we have a few other things. We have the Microsoft Office suite, and that's kind of about, you know, nothing all more exciting than that. So what do you think, Todd? Is there a stagnation?
I don't know if there's stagnation, but there's no new apps. you're right. You know, although I will say, I just looked at the charts that you're just quoting or mentioning, and the top number one free app is Bitmoji. So, you know.
Which was a really popular app years ago when everyone was posting those Bitmojis to Facebook. And the only reason it's kind of resurged on iOS is because it can integrate with iMessage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now instead of blasting these all out through Facebook, our friends assumingly are just blasting them to each other on message. So I guess that's the greater good. I don't have to see them as much, although they were somewhat humorous here and there. So yeah, I don't know what to expect. And then I thought, well, what do I want in a killer app? And I thought, well, it'd be nice to have a personal assistant sort of app that would tie a lot of things together, sort of what Apple and Google and others have tried to do, but no one has gotten it to the point where I'm willing to trust it with knowing things and being authoritative in my life, where I could just turn on a briefing about my day and it'd be the same as if I had someone who knew my calendar and could kind of prepare a briefing for me.
Well, you know, that said, if you, I don't know if it works with the iPhone Google app, but if you have an Android phone, Google does a scary job of tracking where you are. I mean, literally, it'll prompt me like, were you here today? Is this mm-hmm. really where you were? Yes or no?
Don't lie. Don't lie to Google.
And then, it will decide where you should be going based on that information, as we've discussed in the past. Today, I decided I really should be going to the supermarket. Don't know why, because I really didn't need to. But Google thought I did. And it said, hey, look, it's a 7-minute drive from where you are. So, you know, if you need to go, now's the time.
Yeah, I do get that on iOS. You know, I get things like this morning. I went to the church I usually go to on Sunday mornings, and it knew as I was driving there that that's where I was headed. And it told me how long it would take to get there, a whole, you know, 5 minutes. And so, yeah, I get some of that, and that's somewhat helpful, although I live in a small town, so traffic is really never an issue. But I don't really – it doesn't integrate with much else. Like, it can't, for example, tell me tomorrow you've got a busy day in the morning, you've got an afternoon where you've got some open time, and you've got these tasks sitting in your task list. On average, it takes about this long for you to complete this task. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like you could probably squeeze these two or three things in that time you have between that meeting. That would be sort of what I would really find helpful, something that did the logistics planning of my life for me, you know, and said things like, oh, you know, so-and-so's birthday's coming up, you should get them a gift, or, you know, the weather's going to be turning colder this week, so maybe, you know, plan if you're going to go out for dinner to do it earlier or something, you know, some thing that would replicate using machine learning and AI kind of what executives and managers have with a personal assistant.
Well, that said, you know, I think Facebook is starting to give me weather advice in the mornings. Have you noticed that?
I've noticed a good morning, it's going to be this or that out, sort of thing. Yeah, I have seen that.
So I'm a little bit afraid they're going to start putting more stuff I really don't really care about in my Facebook feed. I would really like it if they'd restore the timeline, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Not unlike Star Trek. I wish that, you know, people would follow the Prime Directive and not fuss with the timeline. But Facebook decided, no, we are.
Well, I just, all my Facebook friends seem so preoccupied with this this guy who seems to be annoying everyone, and it seems like that's just taking a lot of time up on my.
Not everyone, some of our friends are not annoyed, as you know.
Well, yeah. Well, I will always say this is my one little thing that ventures into politics. Because I've traveled enough and I've met enough people, I always find it amusing on social media to find someone complaining about something, posting to a news story, and then someone right below them posting to the same news story talking about how great it is.
I have seen that also, and I find it interesting.
Amusing. But lately, that hasn't been happening as much. Right. So, we shall see.
Yeah, so, you know, speaking of this, I was going to put what I thought was a quote anyway, that, you know, everything that has been invented, that can be invented, has been invented, which, mm-hmm. you know, I remembered somebody, some guy in a patent office saying in the 19th century, but it turns out, I'm wrong, that I just looked it up, and apparently that was not said by the guy it was attributed to, and it came from a joke, and then was attributed to this poor person in a patent office for... who has been blamed for repurposing a biblical saying. So
you mean common sense was wrong? Oh. That's crazy. Of course, that is my entire life, is telling poor undergrad students that common sense is wrong. But
There you go. But, you know, so I, you know, just kind of looking at my iPhone, because I hardly install apps on my Android phone. I was telling John, the last app I installed is a free app called Fender Tune, which is from Fender Guitar, and you use it to tune your guitar. Now, I have a hardware tuner, so I'm not sure why I downloaded this, but it seemed like a good idea at the time.
as do many things in our lives, Todd. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Right. And I have to
say, officer, it seemed like a great idea at the time.
And I'm trying to think if there's, you know, I'm looking at my apps and trying to think which ones are useful, and I can't, yeah, I haven't installed anything new lately. I mean, I get a lot of updates, of course, you know. By the way, one of the recent things out of Starbucks is, you know, updates their app fairly frequently. I know you don't have a Starbucks nearby, but I do. And I don't go to Starbucks as often as I used to for whatever reason. I used to go at least once a week. Now I go maybe twice a month. And I learned that Starbucks stars expire. So I've got 14 stars that are expiring on February 1st. I'm kind of sad because they'll put me that much further away from my free drink.
That is true. Although the thing I noticed about Starbucks this year, which... I'm kind of curious if it's an error, and if it is, I'm taking copious screenshots to argue it out with Starbucks, is that usually, you know, it tells you need to come up with a certain number of stars. After you've hit your renewal date, it'll say, you know, you need X number of stars for next year.
Right.
This year, when I got to it, it just defaulted saying earn 0 stars by this year's date in 2017 for another year of gold. So.
I have seen that also. I'm not sure what's going on there either. So, you know, it's one of those mysteries of Starbucks.
Like I said, I'm taking copious. I really do wish Starbucks. So this podcast is going everywhere. I really wish Starbucks would have a loyalty level of gold. Like if you maintain gold for 5 years or something, you're just in gold forever. Yeah, that's because for people like me who like Starbucks but live in places where there is no Starbucks, through no fault of my own, I can't get the Starbucks that I normally would get. So, you know, don't penalize me, Starbucks, by taking away my gold status when I had to move here for a job, you know, so I could afford Starbucks.
Okay, so... You know, we've kind of derailed ourselves, but that's okay.
I actually thought of something that can bring us back because it's an interesting thing that I'll be able to update the listeners on next week. So FreedomPop.
I remember them.
Yeah, they're an interesting service. They come up with all these, like, you know, low-cost data plans, phone right. plans, etc. And the way they get you, much like many things in the world, is that you sign up for it and it just kind of chips away, you know, $4.99 a month, $4.99 a month. And if you're not using it, eventually you get tired and you cancel your service, etc. And I've done this like two or three times with them, so they've probably made about $100 or $200 off me and my laziness in the past. But what I found this week that was interesting, they sent me an email. It's like, hey, you know, mm-hmm. since you're one of our valued customers that we keep tricking into these things, mm-hmm. We will give you a free Android phone, mm-hmm. and we will give you a free service tier on it if you pay $29.99 in activation.
Oh.
I thought, well, it's a one-time $29.99.
Okay.
And then after that, as long as I downgrade it to the free plan, it's supposed to be free with, you know, like 200 minutes a month and, you know, low
That's
amount of data. Yeah, so I bought it because I don't learn. And I will try to do my best when I get it to downgrade it so I don't start paying $7.99 a month for the premium plan they have. But I'm interested to do it. And plus, I was just really interested to see if the Huawei phone that they're sending me is a useful phone, or if I'm going to be going, man, I can't believe people put up with, you know, a slow phone like this in their primary device. So yeah, I got notification this morning it shipped, and I will I'll report back. But I may soon join you, Todd, in the ranks of carrying an Android phone and an iPhone, and having my super secret number that nobody will have except right. you know, maybe, you know, my trusted confidants.
Right. And I think you can turn on call blocking, call number, caller ID blocking, so you can call people and they won't see your number.
Ooh, I can go all secretive and only the NSA will know about me.
That's right. That's interesting, you know, because I think I mentioned many times again that when I was visiting my daughter in London last summer, the hotel I stayed at had a free-to-use Android phone. It was a low-end Android phone. I don't even remember which version of Android it was using. But it had the hotel provided free unlimited voice minutes, unlimited text, and unlimited data for the duration of your stay. They had it sitting in a charger when I walked into the room, and a big sign saying, hey, use this if you like. Which I did, because T-Mobile went down on my phone, which is, you know, the Google Fi carrier provider in London. It went down for a day, the day I was picking up my daughter from the station. Thank you very much, T-Mobile. And I used it to navigate my way there. I walked through Hyde Park to the station from my hotel, and it worked. It was kind of sluggish, but, you know, it worked, which is more than I can say with T-Mobile UK. I think, I'm not sure which carrier they're using, might have been Vodafone or, you know, somebody like that. And just as a note, not that I'm an expert in this, but having traveled up and down the UK and Scotland with my Google Fi phone, and my daughter had Vodafone service on her phone while she was there. Vodafone has far, far better reach than T-Mobile UK in the UK. But anyhow, yeah, I'm looking forward to what you say. You know, how slow is it, and can you upgrade?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah, I'll be interested in that too, if I can just pop the SIM out. And I do have a couple older Android phones over here. I'd be curious to try the SIM in with a SIM adapter. Yeah. I even have an old Windows phone that I would be interested in trying it in just to see what happens with it.
Windows phones.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have any functional Windows phones. I mean, I have physical Windows phones devices, but I don't think any of them work anymore. I mean, I don't think they turn on.
I should try to power up the HTC Universal with it.
Oh.
That would be really interesting to see if that could even do anything.
Wow. So you would need like a micro SIM to SIM adapter for that or something?
Yeah, and I do have a set of those somewhere around here. So Conceivably it's all in my office. I could do it. Don't tempt me, Freedom Pop. If you make me accidentally forget to cancel my service, then of course not making me do anything. It's my own laziness. But if you make me forget, I will wreak havoc on your network by activating a 11-year-old phone on your network.
And I miss my Universal. I mean, I still have it, but I miss, you know, having
it
useful.
Still has, I think, the best keyboard for email triage.
I was just going to say that the keyboard is amazing.
But I do have to take it out. One of my colleagues at work was apparently a Windows Phone or Windows Mobile enthusiast back 10 years ago, not to the level you and I were. He actually kept it sane. I keep telling him I'm going to bring in the jazz jar and let him play with it. But I have not done that yet. I haven't dug it out. Well, for those of you that are curious, in my unclicking, I started off at 2709, and now I'm at 1608.
Are you still clicking as we talk?
So, yeah, this is a very mindless activity, just sort of clicking on the most random things. And I'm curious now, this has made me very inspired to go into Evernote and figure out what exactly I've been clipping over the last 10 years, because I've got a lot of images that I know must have come from news stories or, other random stuff. And, right now I'm looking at a map of Pittsburgh and Wheeling, West Virginia. I don't know why I had that clipped either.
You are a man of many interests.
I am. And I'm a man who is almost at 1500 and can use the delete feature.
All right.
It's getting so close. It's at 1548, 47, 46, 45. Mobile stagnation. Like I said, if there were interesting apps, somebody please code one up, and we will definitely help you out by talking about it. Because quite honestly, we want something fun to get excited about. That's something I lament a little bit, is that there's no sexy feature that I'm looking for anymore in life. There's nothing that, and I even looked up what the rumors were for Google I/O this year.
Okay.
And everything just looks like it's more integration stuff. You know, your Google Home is going to talk to your Android phone or something along those lines. Yeah, that's cool. But it's not.
You know what that means? Well, there'll be more words we cannot say in a podcast.
You're right.
More keywords and names that will be banned from the podcast.
I was talking to a friend today within earshot of the one whose name starts with an A.
Mm-hmm.
And I said something about Uber. And it clicked on. And it's like, that skill's not enabled. I can't call you an Uber. Well, where I live, we have one Uber driver.
Oh, okay.
So he might not have even been driving today.
Or he would have been very ticked off.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, there's just there's really some things there that would be nice to improve, but I can't get excited about that. I'm not excited about talking to my computer.
Well, you know, I have been endlessly talking about Google Chromebook with Android apps, and I gave my tale of all of how I tried to order the Acer Chromebook R13 and found out Amazon won't ship it to Hawaii and Alaska. Yeah, it still won't, by the way, among other things, other kinds of battery things, or also gel things like hair gel won't ship here, apparently, and something else kind of boggled the mind. But I'm still interested in it, although our mutual friend Rocco has noted several times in his Facebook status that he is very disappointed. And, you know, he's a diehard Chromebook user. I think he uses a picture or something. He is very disappointed in the Android app integration with Chrome OS. So maybe I got all excited for nothing.
I'm not sure, but we'll see. I'm hoping that you get that integration. I'm hoping that Google I/O or WWDC show me something in the next few months that I go, that is so cool, I can't wait for it. But we'll see.
Yeah. So, you know, we should probably talk to Sven and I think Frank, who have bought the Google Home doodad, and get their thoughts on it. Maybe if we can set up a time for next week or two, depending on your schedule, we'll invite them and see if they have time to join us. Because did you buy one? I didn't buy one. I have no intention of buying one. I have my Echo and I'm happy with it.
I will. I can end this week by first of all saying that my Google Photos nightmare is over.
Okay.
I was able to get everything out. But my other tip, be careful about the cool things that your apps can do, the ones that you do have. So I have a Sonos system in my house, in my phone too, because there's an app on there for it. But they released an update about 6 months ago that now when you are listening to music on your Sonos system and your iPhone is controlling it, the volume rocker on your iPhone actually controls the volume of your Sonos system.
Oh.
So that's kind of a cool feature. You don't have to turn on the phone or open up the app to up the volume a little bit. But the other day I was watching TV, which goes through the Sonos Play Bar, mm-hmm. and I went to slip my phone into my jeans pocket, which is kind of a tighter pocket, and I hit that button and about blasted, you know, the sound as high as it could go. So be careful when you have that sort of level of integration when you know, you're like, oh, there's nothing that can happen. I'm not listening to anything. Nope, you're listening through some other way. But that is cool that Apple has now opened up that API where your volume rocker buttons can control volume on an app that isn't actually playing through your phone.
Well, okay, so speaking of apps, this is not new, but it's an app I use practically every day, and I just wanted to mention it, even though they are not a sponsor. We don't have any sponsors. Hint, hint.
Again, we're a completely apolitical podcast. If you would like to sponsor us and pay us, and we will pretty much tow whatever your party line is, please let us.
Yeah, for money, pretty much anything.
Yeah, for money, for fame, for, you know.
But in any case, I use the Audible app. Audible is a subsidiary of Amazon. We would welcome either of those as a sponsor. And I just speaking of TV, I just want to mention a book I'm listening to now. It is The Platinum Age of Television by David Bianculli. And if that name sounds familiar to you, you may have read his new. He's a TV critic in various print, but also NPR. If you listen to NPR, he is their TV critic. And I'm really, and he reads it. And I'm really enjoying it. It is a mammoth, and I mean mammoth book. It is, let me look it up. It is 23 hours and 37 minutes, and I have to say, I'm enjoying every minute of this nonfiction book. He says The Platinum Age of Television starts, I think, with The Sopranos in 1999, but he goes all the way back to the beginning, so it's not just, you know, just TV from 1999. He goes back to the 1930s or whatever, and 1940s, I guess. And it's really fascinating, things I never knew, like Bob Newhart.
Mm-hmm.
Who has had several hit TV shows.
Yeah.
His only Emmy, not from Newhart, not from the Bob Newhart show. It's from Big Bang Theory.
Really? That is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, very unexpected. But lots of fun information, lots of interesting thinking behind it, you know, analysis, his categorization. Anyway, really, really fun. I'm enjoying the book tremendously. I did want to mention another book, which it does tie more into our podcast, and that's The Innovators by Walter Isaacson, who also wrote the really good Steve Jobs mm-hmm. biography. I have the same problem with the, I guess, audio editor, I don't know what you call him, producer, whatever, director, that did the Steve Jobs book and as well as Isaacson's The Innovators book, and they are not checking how to say words. So, you know, if you listen to Isaacson's Steve Jobs biography, they continually say Mac OS X, which drove me nuts, among other things. There are lots of things that drove me nuts, but one of the ones that drove me nuts is this. They're talking about Digital Equipment Corp, which most people refer to its initials and pronounce it DEC, D-E-C, mm-hmm. and they keep saying D-E-C, D-E-C, you know, it's like driving me nuts. And there's a bunch of things like that in there, but otherwise, it's kind of a slow book in the beginning. Starts with Lady Lovelace and Ada Lovelace and all that. And for some reason, I thought that segment, that's the 19th century, which didn't really have a lot of computing, you know, mm-hmm. aside from, you know, the Lady Ada Lovelace herself, went a little too long. But now that we're kind of in the near modern era, where he's talking about Bill Gates and those kind of folks is much more interesting. So I would recommend that. And I also wanted to say, what was that I was looking at? There was just one more thing. So Audible, shout out to them. The app has been improving. Had some problems for a while, but now it seems stable. And, you know, it's funny. I just keep looking, and you're so right. I never noticed that until you mentioned it. I have not been downloading apps because there's nothing interesting to me. Every app that needs to be invented has been invented. That's what it is.
Yeah, I really hope that's not the case. And but it is kind of a strange sort of situation we find ourselves in. I'm really hopeful for 2017. We talked a little bit a few weeks ago about what we want to see in terms of technology and hardware. And I'm hoping that both Google and Apple say something, and even Microsoft say something this year where I go, yeah, that is a feature I'd really like to explore. Yeah. The feature that actually is integrated already that I haven't explored yet because I just don't know what it does, and so I'm not going to use it yet, is I've been getting notifications on my calendars for exchange-linked calendars where it says, you know, you have this coming up and there's some snooze and dismiss, but there's another option that says I'm running late. Hmm. I haven't used that yet. I assume that sends a notification to the organizer of the event that says I'm running late. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know what that looks like yet, so I haven't tried it yet. So it's little tweaks like that that I'd be more than happy to see more and more of those. But there's just nothing where I'm going, I want an app that, you know, organizes this information, because there's generally an app for that already. Or I want a social media network that focuses on encryption or focuses on group chat or focuses on, you know, short self-destructing messages. I think we all have apps that we use for those things already. So. Yeah.
You know, and before we sign off, and we've actually used up 40-something minutes with talking about nothing. We're like Seinfeld.
Yeah, we've turned this into John's Google Photos screw-up and Todd's book reviews.
Yeah.
So
I did want to
please
mention,
get us more listeners and get us sponsors.
Yeah, and get us focused.
Yeah, get us focused.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who the pharmacy firm that does Ritalin does, but if you'd like to advertise with us, you know, we're good. I did want to mention another app that it was, because this is kind of an odd situation where, so I bought an iPad Pro last spring, so not quite a year ago. What was it, April when it came out? Not iPad Pro, iPad Pro Junior, the 9.7-inch smaller version, and I bought an Apple Pencil. And the Apple Pencil pretty much languished there for many, many months. In fact, I had to remember to charge it every now and then because it was kind of the charge just die in the pencil and I didn't want the battery to get, you know, whatever. And then on January 1st of this year, I decided, well, I need to do something with this thing. I had bought Procreate, which is, I think, a $5 app. And My resolution for 2017 was to do a doodle a day, draw a doodle a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually use my Apple Pencil and get my $5 worth from Procreate. And I have to say, I've been greatly enjoying that little exercise. I allow myself no more than 15 minutes per day for a doodle so it doesn't get crazy. Lots of fun. And I really, as I slowly, you know, I only use it 15 minutes a day. So as I slowly learned how to use Procreate, it is an amazing, amazing app for $5. I mean, if it were on a Mac or on a PC, it would certainly be in the Photoshop range of whatever Photoshop costs, you know, $500. I guess now you got to get a subscription. But it is an amazing drawing app. And I having also bought the Pencil by 53 from the paper 53 paper people. It is an amazing drawing. The Apple Pencil is an amazing drawing instrument. Not so thrilled about the Pencil by 53 quite yet, but maybe it's because I started with the Apple Pencil, which has a small tip and all that, and I just need to figure out how to use the Pencil by 53. But anyway, great combination. Apple Pencil, finally got my $100 worth out of that, and $5 worth out of the Procreate app. Can't say enough nice things about it. It's lots of fun. The only thing I wish is you could back up your drawings from Procreate to iCloud or Dropbox or Google Drive or something automatically. But, you know, it's fine. You can't. It does what it's supposed to do, which is let you draw with the Apple Pencil or whatever else you want, I guess. You could use anything else also. Anyway, lots of fun. It also supports the Pencil by 53. So, Procreate, $5. Apple Pencil, $100. Good combination if you like to doodle, or in fact, if you're actually talented and you like to draw, you know, like for real, then I'm sure it's even more fun. But anyway, that's it. And John and I will get back to you in another week or so. Thanks for listening to all five of you, or hope, maybe we doubled that. Talk to you later. Bye.
I think we have. We're in the tens.
We're in the tens. Yeah, tens. Okay.